Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All Car Flag Nation needed to see was that win over the Thunder on Monday night, and then all of a sudden, everybody was back on that bandwagon. Do not even try to deny it, Laker honks. And the ones that did not affix the car flags to their cars were running around up and down the street, shaking the flags, waving the flags. You know you are. You know you were. You know exactly who you are. You know exactly who you are, Car Flag Nation. And as you know exactly where they pivoted to next. When you were giving yourselves whiplash, jumping right back off the bandwagon, then you started to do what you do best. You put the car flags down, and you picked up the torches and the pitchforks once again so you could once again go in on Darvin Ham. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that Darv is exactly lighting the world on fire in his gig. We all know this. I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. I'm not going to sit here and say that Darv is the second coming of Pop or Phillip or Larry Brown. Or hell, even Kurt Rambis or Tim Floyd. But damn, do you dudes hate this guy? And it's not just, you hate him more than the No More Rambis people hate Rambis. And it's not just the Laker honks who despise this dude. It seems like the Lakers themselves hate him almost as much. It's like every time things get close to maybe getting back on track under the Ham, the Lakers can't wait to go straight into the tank just so the Ham doesn't get any of the credit. It's like the Lakers were looking around last night when they were blowing out Sacramento by 19 in the first quarter. You know, a good thing. And then they start looking around like, hey, what are we doing here? What are we doing? This is actually a huge game. We can't actually play well and then actually win because then the Ham will get the credit. We can't let that happen. So, of course, they didn't. In fact, from that very exact point, things went right off a cliff. The Kings had the lead by the middle of the second quarter, and then they never even looked back. And then LaCap limped off. Before the game ended, despite another incredible performance to make a crappy night even crappier. We actually have the raw audio of LeGM's reaction to re-aggravating his ankle injury last night. It sounded like this. Damn, that sounds painful. He, however, says it's just, quote, wear and tear, which makes a lot of sense, actually. He's a 39-year-old basketball geriatric who is absolutely carrying the biggest and most bloated franchise in the association on his back right now. I mean, seriously, does any other Laker want to step the hell up and help this old man out? These dudes are clearly happy just to stand around and watch that 39-year-old put up 31 points with 13 dimes on 10 of 16 shooting. And they're just bearing witness to the greatness. They have no interest in contributing to the greatness, cuz. Okay, Rui did step up last night. Fine, we know he can shoot it. But you know who didn't step up last night? Anthony Street Clothes Davis. Now I'll give Street Clothes this much. He hasn't spent nearly as much time in his street clothes as he normally does this year. He's actually had a pretty good year. At least by the numbers. The problem is there are still too many games where this dude does disappear or doesn't step up. There are too many games when street clothes seems like he's actually in street clothes, even though he's actually in uniform running up and down the floor. In other words, they needed more than 14 from street clothes last night. They just didn't get more. And then after the game, the dude had the nerve to toss a whole bucket of shade on everybody's favorite punching bag, the Ham.
Some of the things we were in defensively allowed them to allow De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk to get whatever they want, live in the paint. If I go help, then Sabonis is wide open. So they did a good job manipulating what we were doing.
When a game flips like that on the court that quickly, that violently, what does it feel like when momentum turns 15 points? Or not 20?
It sucks, especially in a must-win game, you know, that we needed.
What's it feel like when the game flips that violently? I don't know. Why are you asking me? Go ask the Ham.
It sucks.
Go ask the Ham. He's the one who drew up the defensive game plan. I mean, you see what he just did there? It's his fault that Fox and Monk, former Laker, went crazy. Why are you asking me? What did I have to do with it? Yeah, we get it. That's your code for the head coach sucks. It's totally the Ham's fault that you let Sabonis drop a triple-double on your head. And again, I'm not defending the Ham. I'm just saying, why is it none of the players' fault? It's totally the Ham's fault that Sabonis is now incredibly 9-0 against street clothes for his career. Yo, AD, what's good? Not your record against Sabonis. Somehow
AD,
that's
what's good, baby?
Somehow that's a real stat, baby. Sabonis is 9-0 against street clothes. Yo, AD, you might want to keep Sabonis' name out your bleeping mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
But sure. All of it is on Darv. Clearly, everybody is frustrated with the Ham. Meanwhile, the Ham is frustrated with the Ham. And in fact, is blaming the frustration itself on why they're playing the way they are right now. It's the frustration's fault. The players are blaming the coach, and the coach is blaming the frustration.
I mean, you get frustrated, man. Frustration, you know, it makes cowards of us all, just like fatigue. You try to get something back. You know, you start going out on your own, or, you know, you preoccupy with just something that you can't control, such as officiating, instead of just figuring out how you can make plays, get stops. And a lot of times it's just, you know, just competing harder.
Do you know what having no answers sounds like? That. Exactly that. I mean, that is a famous saying. Fatigue makes cowards of us all, and it does. I mean, I believe that. It absolutely does. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. But whoever said frustration makes cowards of us all? I mean, dude, you're just pulling this out your ass now. Cowards. Oh, so it's frustration that's making the Lakers into cowards. Scared cowards. It's the frustration's fault that this team does not compete harder in must-win games. It's frustration's fault that they're blowing enormous leads in must-win games. It was probably frustration's idea to hang that ridiculous ears invitational banner as well. I'm not trying to let LeCap totally off the hook either. As spectacular as he is, and he is spectacular, but if reports this week are to be believed, he's not helping out the Ham. In fact, if you believe the reports of this week, he's not even listening to the Ham. He's completely ignoring the Ham. He's actively undermining the Ham. And of course, if LaFib is actively undermining the coach, everybody else is going to ignore the coach as well. And you know why I believe these reports? Because this looks like a team that totally ignores their head coach. It sounds like a team that hates their head coach. And we all know how this is going to end.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
You know how we know? We've seen this movie. We all know something else. We know how it's going to end. And we know that running the Ham into the wood chipper is not going to fix bleep. It's not going to make anything any better. I mean, they did the same thing to Frank Vogel. And Vogel is a good coach. And what did that do? Nothing.
I haven't been
But go off anyway, car flaggers. Put it all on the Ham. Why live in reality when you can just live in the Laker myopia that is Car Flag Nation? Again, I'm not saying this dude is the coming of Pat Riley, the second coming of Pat Riley. Far freaking from it.
Get a grip.
I'm not saying that. However, if LeBron is going to own the team and GM the team, he may as well just coach the team. He's already doing it anyway. Just give the dude the title. That way he can then sit up there and take all the heat that the ham takes on the nightly on social and at the podium for all the decisions that LeCap is making himself anyway. Sucks to be the ham, man.
It sucks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. He is the great Jamal Crawford. Jamal, it is awesome to talk some ball with you as always. How you doing, Jamal? Great to have you back.
Jim, I'm always honored to come on the show. Thanks for having me again.
Great to have you again. In fact, before you and I talk ball, I want to talk media and I want to talk content. You're part of one of the best studio teams and, you know, programs ever at Turner. Obviously, the chemistry of the entire crew, both crews, is so good. But for those who did not know or didn't see it, Jamal, can you share the details of the recent bet that you had with Shaquille O'Neal and what Shaq did when he lost?
Oh, so, Jim, it was just unbelievable. Before the game, it was the Phoenix Suns against the Denver Nuggets. And Phoenix obviously was playing in Denver. And I was the only one on set, I believe, maybe Candace agreed with me, that Phoenix was going to win. And Shaq was like, no way. I said, well, bet 1,000. He said, bet 10,000. Matter of fact, bet 1,000,000. I said, okay. And as Phoenix came back and won, as we all saw, Shaq calls for a box. And I'm like, oh, man, it was his birthday, so I knew he probably had some cash on him. I'm like, oh, man. He's actually going to pay me. He's going to keep his word and pay me. He brings out the money. I'm getting excited. I see it. I'm like, oh, man, look at this. It's real and everything. Then I'm going through it, and his face is on it. Now, I've heard of Starbucks, but not Shaq Bucks. So when I saw it, I couldn't believe it, and I had to throw the money back at him. But it went viral. It was crazy because I really threw money, and Shaq's a good guy. He's an unbelievable guy. He's always giving. Just not to me that day.
That's so funny. Shaq currency. Of course, he had his face on the currency. Jamal Crawford joining. So funny. Jamal Crawford joining us. All right, so what we've got is a potential NBA. Thanks for sharing that. Great story. A potential NBA Finals preview tonight. The Nuggets are going to host the Celtics 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Why don't we spin that one forward for a moment? If these two teams do meet up again for the Larry O and both are healthy, which team would you favor in a seven-game series this season?
This season, I would favor the Celtics. I honestly believe the biggest threat to the Celtics is the Celtics. And what I mean by that is when things are going great, the ball's hopping, the system is working, the trust is there, what I'm interested to see is that the biggest moments in the playoffs, when games are tighter and there's a moment of truth like there is in every game, do they still have that same trust? And that's the part we have to kind of remain to see. But, you know, when they have all the talent, I think when they got Holiday and Porzingis, not only did they get better, they got more mature. And then I think Tatum and Brown being another year older, another year where they have to kind of fill the leadership void with no Marcus Smart as well, has helped the group. But I still need to see at the biggest moments if they keep that same trust, and that's the only thing I think can stop them.
Jamal Crawford joining us. I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, like, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's kind of part of that. What do you make of them blowing that 22-point fourth-quarter lead against the Cavs a couple of nights ago? Like, is that just a one-off? Is that just one game and not that big of a deal? Or given their proclivity for what we're talking about, is this thing still a problem that they have not addressed?
I think it was a one-off. I really believe that because they've been playing a certain standard the whole season. They've been trusted more, but they've been trusted more in the regular season, right? And that's the playoffs. We all know everybody feels that pressure. I don't care if you're the ball boy or the parking attendant. Everybody feels that playoff fever and that pressure. And that's the only last step for me if they're going to stay who they've been this whole season with their habits. You know, last year, you know, I thought at times they let their talent kind of get outside the system a little bit, and it may have hurt them. This year, I think the system has worked for them, and that's why they've been so successful. Even Tatum, he's averaging less points, but he's actually a better player than he was last year.
Jamal Crawford joining us. So speaking of the Nuggets, Michael Malone came on the program, Jamal, a few days ago, and he reiterated that as much as he'd love to have that top seed in the West, not if it means risking the health of his guys. Clearly, he feels like if his guys are right, they can beat anybody anywhere, and it's kind of hard to argue with that. I know why he feels that way. That said, how important is it to younger teams like Minnesota or OKC to rip that top seed and the home court that comes along with it?
Yes, I think it's much more important for the OKCs and Minnesotas of the world. You know, they're a young team trying to establish themselves. OKC was in the playoff situation last year. This year they've been consistent the whole way through. I think for them, you know, matchups matter, you know, especially when you're a younger team. If I'm them, if somebody like the Lakers makes it, just because the Lakers could be an 8 seed or 7 seed or whatever it might be, that doesn't mean they necessarily are at a disadvantage. They've been in those situations before. They've been there wars before. Obviously, a LeBron James-led team is playing chess most times. So that's not a situation you necessarily want to be in. But if I'm a younger team, I'm doing that and building those habits, building that confidence to say, hey, you know what, we were the best team or second-best team in the conference all season long. Let's keep that mojo going to the playoffs.
No, you're so right. Matchups do matter, of course, and nobody wants to run into the Lakers in the early rounds, Jamal, but based on what you've seen from them, what do you think about what you've seen from them? Do they have another gear? Do they have any sort of run in them? Do you expect them to be a factor late in the season?
They'll definitely be better in the playoffs if they make it than they are in the regular season. I'm a little shocked that LeBron is still their best player, to be honest with you. Like, he's still their best player. And then I'm a little disappointed because we talked about in the summer, the Lakers had the best offseason. They made so many moves, bringing in Vanderbilt, like Reddish, all these guys that they brought in, and it hasn't quite clicked this season, especially with how they ended last season. They had a great season. So I'm a little disappointed, but I still think in the playoffs, you know, the game slows down a whole bunch and nobody better to play chess with in that situation than LeBron. He's going to put all the pieces in place with Coach Ham, and that's always a scary situation if you're the opponent.
So, Jamal, why are they in that position? To your point, they had a great offseason. They had that great run last year. Why are they in a position where LeBron is still their best player and they're struggling the way they are? How is it that they're here?
You know what? I think Anthony Davis, as talented as he is, as great as he is, I think he's just a little bit more comfortable being that second guy. And I think, you know, LeBron has came out publicly. He's, you know, this is Anthony Davis's team. You know, you see Davis when LeBron's not out there, when he misses games, you see that alpha, you see that guy that just takes over games with that talent. But for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's the age difference. When LeBron's out there, LeBron's still the guy, and he's still delivering, right? So I'm just a little surprised by that. Obviously, health, they haven't been injured for a huge chunk of the season. But, you know, that's how the league works. Injuries happen. You just have to keep pushing forward. And for them, you know, I think for at their best, it has to be LeBron and AD and all the help to give them their best chance.
You're talking to Jamal Crawford for a couple of more moments. Jamal, as you sit on the outside, one more thought about the Lakers. When you watch them, does it seem to you that they're responding to Darvin Ham, or does it seem to you that they tune him out?
No, they're responding. They're definitely responding. And I think Coach Ham does an unbelievable job. I think his patience, I think he's fair, but he's firm as well. And you have to adjust on the fly, right? And you have to – coaching a player like LeBron, who's one of the greatest to ever play, is not always easy for anybody because he's so smart and he knows. He's been in so many situations, right? So everybody has to be locked in on the same page between the coach and between a player like that, how he sees things on the floor. You know, Coach Ham's on the sidelines, but LeBron's playing in the game, so he can make those in-game adjustments. But when the Lakers are right and they're playing, they have a really, really good chance. There's only a couple matchups that don't really favor them, but everybody else they seem pretty solid against. Even the Clippers. I'm shocked how they beat the Clippers this year. The Clippers have been dynamite the last couple months. So the matchups will matter.
Glad you brought them up. I'm shocked also that they've had success against the Clippers. They've been one of the best teams in the league since trading for James Harden. How much do their championship hopes, Jamal, hang or hinge on getting Russell Westbrook back after he broke his hand a week ago?
I think a lot of it, Jim. I think, honestly, Westbrook is one of the, if not the main leader on the team, especially vocally. If you look at Harden, George, and Kawhi, they're kind of quiet leaders. They're unbelievable all-time talents, but they're more on the quiet side. Westbrook is the vocal leader. You know, he still can play at a high, high level. He's always energized. He always gives you life. He gives you toughness. And he's a guy that can really get those guys shots on the second unit. You watch it, Norman Powell, to Candace Parker's point. You watch it, Norman Powell you know, a guy like that that can fill it up, he feeds off of Russ's energy, you know. So he's a vocal leader. He's a leader on that team. They really respect him. They have to kind of buy time and wait the storm until he gets back, because he brings so much more than just numbers when he's out there.
Hey, Jamal, one last thought. Like, what do you make of him accepting that role the way he has? For instance, you were so effective. You were so dynamite coming off the bench. Even if maybe you didn't want to, you embraced that role, and you did an amazing job doing it. I didn't think, based on what I saw with Westbrook with the Lakers, that that would ever be something that he would come around to, but he has, and I've got to give him a lot of credit for that. Are you at all surprised by how well he's done in accepting that role and performing off the bench?
Honestly, I'm not, just from the standpoint that everybody I talked to, even from the OKC days, said he was the best teammate. He was the best in the locker room. You know, he was just so full of life and energy for other people. And so I came off the bench, but I was never MVP. You know what I mean? And he's doing it at a level that's incredible. And to me, that's what changed the Clippers season. It was him doing that. It was Ty Lue figuring it out. But him coming off the bench has changed. It empowered Harden to be the point guard. It got those other guys going. He said, you know what? If you look at when their team took off, it had everything to do at the timing of when Westbrook came off the bench, because having four dominant perimeter players out there at once is just tough to do for anybody. So he did what was best for the team. In turn, it's been best for him. And I can't wait to see him back out there. He should definitely get kudos for what he's changed in that locker room and in that culture.
Well, I agree with you. One last thought about one of your former teams, I should say. The Suns had a quality win in Denver Tuesday. They're 10 games over 500. What do you think of the decision to go all in? How does it look to you now in making that move for Bradley Beal to pair him with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant as they get ready for one of the toughest stretches of the season? How do they look to you?
They are definitely built for the playoffs. I think this is, you know, kind of trial and error. We haven't seen three guys at this level on the perimeter together in a long, long time. So for those guys to buy in, which they have, Brad Beal's their third option, which doesn't mean he still can't get 20 a game. It just means those other two will probably touch the rock first, and he'll play off of those guys. But Brad Beal, I think Royce O'Neal's a sneaky pickup. What I love to see them get over the trade deadline, and maybe they can get it, you know, through the buyout, is a point guard. He doesn't have to be a starting point guard, but just a guy to organize. I think in the fourth quarter, some of what they're doing is like how Boston does it. And when they lose, it's, you know what, we'll play great for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, we slow down. It becomes stagnant. We don't let the system work for us as much. And I think a point guard organizes those guys. No, KD has it going. We're going through him the next three times. No, Book is hot. We're going through him. And kind of just conducting and organizing is something they miss. And maybe a backup big as well. But I still think in the playoffs, there'll be a tough out to beat them. 4 out of 7 times.
Oh, man, not at all surprising to see you make this great and seamless transition to content and media. He is an analyst for TNT Sports, also NBA TV, had an incredible NBA career where he played 20 years. He is Jamal Crawford. Jamal, appreciate you so much, and I really appreciate you carving out that time for the show. Thanks for doing that, dude.
You're the man, Jim. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Jamal, so much. Are you one of millions struggling with premature hair thinning and hair loss? Or maybe you're scared about inheriting that thinning look because it just runs in the family. Introducing Provia, a real solution that delivers on its promise without the harsh side effects, unwanted chemicals, and unpleasant smells. Thanks to our friends that developed GenuCell Skincare, Provia uses Procapil. It's a natural ingredient to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning for men and women of any age. By supporting scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb, or 100% of your money back. And right now, new customers can save over 50% off Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Rome. Every package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus their super concentrate that could give you faster, more noticeable results. And every order includes your choice of a free gift at checkout. See results for yourself right now. ProviaHair.com/Rome. ProviaHair.com/Rome. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. I want to talk about the Bills. Mafia, you know how much you mean to the program. You know how much that team means to this program. So I want to take some time at the top of hour number two and give you the real estate that you deserve. Now, Mafia, Bills Mafia. Back in January, I did call you the undisputed champions. I said it. I meant it. I still mean it. Because you are. As long as we're talking about pain and misery and heartbreak, then you guys are elite. And I say that not to rub it in. I say that because I feel your pain. I say that because I feel your misery. I feel your heartbreak. I sympathize. I empathize. I get it. I don't get it like you get it, but I get it. I know how excruciating it had to be to hear the words wide right yet again during another gut-wrenching playoff loss. How excruciating it had to be to have that ball in a two-minute drill at home against the Chiefs and still wind up losing that game nonetheless, which is why in the aftermath of that game, I said things had to change. Big changes were needed. Big changes were coming. You couldn't keep this up. Something had to change. We knew this. And I knew those big changes were coming. I was just hoping that it wouldn't come to this. Even if deep down, I knew it was going to come to this. Of course, I'm talking about what happened yesterday. I'm talking about my dude, Jordan Poyer. My dude, Jordan Poyer, going out the door. Not just Jordan Poyer, but going out the door along with Trey White, Mitch Morse, and others. Three captains and others. I get it. They're way over the cap. And that's not how the Bills do it. And they did it like that in order to take that one last big swing. That one last big shot with his crew. And it didn't work. And yet injuries contribute to that as well. So they took that big swing and they had injuries. They were all in. It didn't work. So something had to change. And I do want to acknowledge this. Because you know I'm going to say a lot of positive things about Jordan Poyer. Let me acknowledge this. Jordan was not quite the same player last season that he had been. Not quite the same player that he was when he was a Pro Bowler in 22 or a first-team All-Pro in 21. My man had an extremely high bar. He set an extremely high bar. Fine, I accept that. There was a drop-off. I can accept that. He is 32. However, this dude was still an absolutely critical part of what makes the Buffalo Bills the Buffalo Bills. And say what you want about that performance this season. When the season was on the line in the fourth quarter against Kansas City, who stepped up? Who stepped up and made one of the best clutch defensive plays in recent Bills memory? If not their history, frankly. Jordan Poyer. That's who. Let's not forget, Kansas City was about to go up 10 early in the fourth. They had first and goal from the three, and then this happened.
Here's the toss. It's Hardman, and Hardman is stopped just short. Hey, the ball went through the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
They may rule him down. The Bills are saying that ball was fumbled through the back of the end zone.
Oh, my goodness.
Incredible play. Could have been a season-saving play. Could have been the play that finally got Buffalo over the Kansas City hump. And crazy to think that that's the last big play that this dude is going to make in a Bills uniform. But then again, that's fitting because they don't get any bigger. It's officially the end of an era in Buffalo. And I'm here to tell you, Jordan Poyer, to me, is a big reason why there even was an era. I'm not saying the only reason, obviously. I'm not saying that. But a big reason. We remember what the Bills were like before he and Micah Hyde arrived. Those two were an institution of sorts. You don't see a pair of safeties play together for 7 years. You don't see that. And you probably will never see that ever again. But they did. And at a very high level. They have been the standard when it comes to a safety pairing. The standard is the standard, and they were for years. And if Poyer walking out that door feels like the end of an era, it's because it's the end of an era. You know, and Bills fans, if you want to say to me, Rome, you're missing the point. Morris is even more important. What about the line? Extremely important. And the line is extremely critical to what they do, obviously, because the big fella's still under center. I get all that. And I also get that there was a drop-off in Poyer's numbers. However, he brought way more to that Bills team and that defense and that secondary than numbers alone. He brought an edge to the defense, a badly needed edge. He brought toughness, and that toughness was contagious. You don't even have to take my word for it. Take it from the coach, Sean McDermott. He said as much at the Combine just last week.
Jordan has been just instrumental in our success and, the growth of our organization, our team, our defense. Can't say enough good about Jordan, just like Micah. And usually when I say one, the other one comes to mind as well. And so I think Jordan for us has been a player, among other things, that probably to me that stand out. His toughness, his mental and physical toughness is what to me rises to the surface when he's out there for us versus when he's not, in terms of the toughness of our overall defense. I think Jordan does a great job of driving that.
All right, so that's not just coach talk. That's actually, for McDermott, that's pretty effusive. That's pretty effusive. Like, he's going. Normally, you know, like I say, love to see it. Love to see it. Except in this case,
love to see it.
While I'm not surprised, and I understand it, notice I'm not saying that it's the wrong thing. I'm acknowledging it. I'm acknowledging him, I'm acknowledging them, and I'm acknowledging the end of an era. Normally, I would say, love to see it. But in this case, hate to see it. Hate to see it. I mean, all that said, and I hate to see it. All that said, Jordan Poyer, he's been through a thing or two. He'll be fine. He'll be all right. He was giving off and throwing off incredible energy. When I caught up with him in Vegas and we had a sit down in front of the fountains at the Bellagio, it was definitely one of the highlights. That week was one of the highlights of all my years of Super Bowl coverage. And on a week that was one of the highlights of all my years of Super Bowl coverage, he was one of the highlights of that week. And he was in a great place, even as brutal as that season ended.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that we lost, but I'm not. I look back and I'm really proud of what we were able to accomplish with the adversity that we were able to deal with. There are no moral victories, but you put perspective on everything, and you give that perspective, and you understand the men that you were in there fighting with each and every day, and what you were able to overcome. And there were times, there were dark times. There were times where you're wondering, like, dang, like, what are we doing? You know, like, this is like, are we focused? Are we here? Like, but the right people, the right leaders, the right everything, and it really flipped it around, and you learn a lot from that, man. You can learn a lot just sticking through it and just flowing with it. And you know, I'm proud of what we were able to overcome. Ultimately, like I said, you want to win the big game, but only one team gets a win at the end of the year.
You want that energy. You want that energy around. You want that energy in the building. You want that energy in the locker room. You want that energy socially. You want to be friends with somebody like that. And, you know, maybe deep down, I'm not saying that Jordan Poyer's ever given up on anything. Maybe deep down, as he and I sat there, he knew he'd already played his last game as a Buffalo Bill. Maybe so. But I can tell you this. That dude loved being a Buffalo Bill. And he did so much to set a winning tone for that team. And like a lot of guys, played through a lot of things. A lot of pain, a lot of injury. And he did have a lot to do with them being put on a competitive path. Not the only guy, but a very important guy. And no, they didn't ultimately get over the hump. But that's not on him. He was a big reason they got anywhere near that hump. And so were some of the other guys cut. So now there's even more pressure on Josh Allen to carry this team over the hump and set the tone and be tough and be competitive. You know, all the things that Josh is known for. Because we all know that Mitch Trubisky is not going to be the one to get them there. Although they brought him back. Solid backup. And he took a pay cut to come back from Pittsburgh. But obviously this is on Josh. It's always going to be on Josh. Always.
Josh Allen.
So this dude's going to come back from Paris like, the hell happened? Where is everybody? Where are my guys? Where's Poyer? The only reason I know that he wasn't there and that he was in Paris, by the way, was this incredible post on X that he dropped this week. @JoshAllenQB. Quote, "My pants ripped at dinner. Didn't want Cheeks out. I love Paris. It's like art. It's like a poem. My pants ripped at dinner. Didn't want Cheeks out. I love Paris. Almost a haiku, right? Sounds like somebody was having a time. A good time. At least until he found out about the mass exodus back in the OP. Orchard Park. I'm sure he wanted Poyer out even less than he wanted his Cheeks out. But hey, sometimes it happens. Sometimes your pants rip and your Cheeks pop. Sometimes the cap forces you to part ways with the heart and soul of your defense and your center and your line and your star corner, who's an amazing player who cannot catch a break and cannot stay healthy. Unfortunately for Buffalo, filling that Poyer void is going to be a lot tougher than just tying your jacket around your waist and exiting the car before your famous girlfriend and getting a lot of heat from her fans. Josh is going from his pants being ripped apart to half the team being ripped apart. All-pro corner Tre'Davious White, gonzo. Iconic center Mitch Morris, gonzo. Nyheim Hines, gone. Dionte Hardy, gone. Others still to come. Or not. Or maybe they just adjust Josh's contract and then they're done. But this much we know. They had to get under the cap. They're not one of those teams that were going to be comfortable being 40 mil over the cap. We knew that. Now, hearing from some of you Bills fans, you're like, wait a minute. Those guys weren't the issue. The coach is the issue. Yeah, well, the thing is, the coach is part of the rebuild. I mean, he's part of rebuilding it. He's not a part of the rebuild. Here's the thing. And Bills fans, I know it's hard. You were this close. You were so close this past season. And yet still so far away from the Super Bowl. How can it be both those things? But it is. And with the salary cap hell that you found yourself in, you had to make these moves, right? So is the window closed? No. No. Not as long as you still have Josh Allen. But are you closer? No.
Josh Allen.
But let me ask you this. Would you rather be a Bills fan with no titles or a Chiefs fan with titles minus digits? Think about that for a minute. If you didn't see it, the Chiefs played one of the coldest games in the history of the NFL, and you saw all those wild Chiefs fans that were out there. Ever stop and wonder what happened to them and what the ramifications were of being outside when it was like minus 29? Apparently, a number of these fans suffered frostbite. No way. Apparently, a number of these fans suffered hypothermia. No way. And apparently, a percentage of the fans that suffered either one or both of those things reportedly are now looking at the possibility of amputations. Fact. Amputations. Listen, you've heard me tell that story a million times. I was in that cold a few years earlier, and not for hours. And I feel like I'm still not right. So what if you were out there for that game, and it was even colder, and you were out there for hours? And you suffered frostbite. And you suffered hypothermia. Of course, there were going to be long-term ramifications. And now some of these people who suffer those things, the afflictions, are still not right. And might be facing amputations, plural. Wow. Chiefs fan, I mean, I know you're committed because I know you're out there. I know you'll never forget that game. You know how I know? Some of you may have a stump as a memory keepsake. Yeah, I mean, sure, there's scoreboard. I mean, like Buffalo, like, oh, I have no Super Bowls, but I got all my toes. I got all my fingers. I have all my appendages. Chiefs fan, I'm not even making light of this. Like, I know I was there. It's scary. I'm really curious. Were there any Chiefs fans that are listening right now that were at that game that are suffering any of this? Because it would not surprise me at all. Because I was there, and it wasn't that cold, and I wasn't right for a long time. Man, can you imagine that? Going to a football game resulting in amputation of an appendage because it was that cold. And I'm not even going to say hope that was worth it, because there's nothing to laugh at. Frostbite, hypothermia, digits getting lopped off. I mean, wow. Do you know who would give up a digit for a Super Bowl? I mean, some of you Chiefs fans might say, you know what? Worth it. Worth it. Okay, that's a Chiefs fan. Do you know what's even more impressive? Somebody who already had multiple Super Bowls. That guy who already had, as a player, multiple Super Bowls, still being willing to give up a digit for a Super Bowl. And if you might ask yourself, which digit? I would say, great question. Not a digit, but a unit. And not a unit, but the unit. You know where I'm going with this. Hey, Mike Vrabel, would you be willing to give up a digit and or your actual unit for another ring?
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player, I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you, if you came home,
you won't need it.
Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Let me ask you something. Never mind Bill Belichick. To hell with Belichick. To hell with the GOAT, allegedly. Never mind why is that guy not on a sideline. How the hell is Mike Vrabel not on a sideline? And let me tell you something. Vrabel shouldn't even have to interview. Vrabel shouldn't even have to submit a resume. All Vrabel should do is have some IT dude that he knows, or the social media department, or anybody he knows, get that clip. I don't know. Gentry, maybe?
Gentry.
Get that clip.
Because it sucks to lose.
Gentry.
And send that to any team with a coaching opening. That clip alone should have made him at the front of the line for any job that was available. Who is more committed and all in than this guy? One more time. This guy. How does this guy not have a job? This clip alone, never mind his career as a player, never mind I think the fact that he is one of the best coaches in the NFL, never mind I think that even though they had issues, obviously, between he and the front office in Tennessee, and maybe a change did have to be made, but how does this guy not have an NFL head coaching job based on this alone?
Been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you, if you came home,
you won't need it.
Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake or eat a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Why Old Trapper? Because Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender, and it's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. Old Trapper is a family-owned business that takes smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. I mean, who wants dried-out, tough beef in a bag? No one. It's like eating a shoe. Old Trapper is the real deal, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned is sweetened with a touch of brown sugar goodness, teriyaki, peppered, and hot and spicy for those of you who like to take things up a notch. Next time you want a great protein and energy snack that you can have anytime, anywhere, grab some Old Trapper beef jerky. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. He is Andy Reid. Andy, we've got a few minutes. I want to make the most of it. How you doing, Andy? What's going on?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. I am doing awesome. Listen, they're all so special, but as mentioned, you won two in a row, three of the last five. How did this one hit you personally, and what's it represent to you?
Yeah, Jim, it's crazy because it's a bit surreal and when it takes place, because your mind goes right into all the different turns and twists that a season has, and ours had a few. So, and you just think of what are the chances that you're up here, and how great is it for your guys, you know, coaches, players, front office? That's kind of where your mind goes, and as you stand on the podium, you're just going, "This is our fans. This is incredible for everybody," and it's a very positive feeling.
Andy Reid joining us. There were twists, right? You start the season 6-1. You lose five of your next eight. Andy, it seemed at that point that maybe it wasn't meant to be. I'm curious, during that period when the wins were hard to come by, what was your primary message to your team?
Yeah, to keep growing. And really, it was more on the offensive side. Just that our defense was really playing consistent. Our offense was growing, a little bit like what our defense did the year before with that young secondary. So it was important that everybody stuck together. Nobody pointed fingers. That's the one thing that will stand out to me about this team. During the highs and the lows, everybody stuck together, and in particular during the lows. And it allowed some of our young players on offense to grow. And by the time we got to the playoffs, like last year, or by the time we got to the playoffs, our defensive secondary was playing good. This year, our receiving core was playing better, and our two new tackles, everybody kind of pulled together and made their mind up that they were, understood. The young guys understood the offense better, so it was neat to watch.
Andy Reid joining us. It was awesome to watch. So you become the first team, Andy, in 19 years to go back-to-back. Given how much parity there is in the NFL and how radically things change on a yearly basis, how daunting but motivating to you is the opportunity to three-peat?
Yeah. You and I have talked for many, many years here. So it's hard to win one game in this league. You know, I mean, you exhaust yourself for each game. And so to be able to predict a three-peat and do that, that's, you know, people can say it and do all of that. The reality is you gotta build a foundation, and that ends up really being the most important thing. And so that's where you put your effort. Come in great shape and make sure that you're ready for camp and make sure you exhaust each day mentally and physically to get yourself better. And we'll take care of it as coaches. We'll take care, and you have to do the same thing as a coach. But our thing with the player is we're going to give you the things you're good at. We're going to try to put you in that position. Then let's work on those things that we need to improve. And if you can get that right, I mean, I'm talking now. I'm not doing. So I'm saying this. But you get that part right and you're willing to do this as coaches and players, then normally, you know, good things will happen. And Brett Veach does a great job of bringing people in as a general manager for us to be able to coach. And so, you know, we've all got a little piece of this thing that we've all got to exhaust and do well.
Andy Reid joining me for one more moment or so. You know, talking about bringing guys in, Patrick Mahomes was a pretty good decision to bring in. I'm curious, when you look back, Andy, in 2017, there was actually some questions about how productive he'd be in the pocket. When did he first catch your eye as an NFL prospect? And did you have any questions about him? And if so, what were they?
Yeah, well, at that time, John Dorsey was the general manager, and John and I had kind of grown up with Brett Favre, and I was coaching. He was in the personnel department in Green Bay, so we had seen a guy that did it a little bit different from, you know, and came from an option, basically a running team in high school, went to Mississippi State, and then Southern Mississippi, I'm sorry, Jamie Christmas. Southern Mississippi, and he was able to, grow in this offense where people didn't think he might be able to do, and actually got released from the Falcons with that. So here you are with Patrick, and he's sitting there at Texas Tech, and they're running this spread out offense and doing all this stuff, and everybody says, well, that doesn't transfer into the National Football League, and I'm going, you know what? He's throwing the ball, and he's throwing it to the right people. I'm sure if he can do it there, he can do it here. And he had a great college head coach, as we know. And so I figured he'd be okay. Now, when I found out about him was John Dorsey's the general manager. Brett Veach is one of his assistants, and he happens to scout that area. So he's bringing these tapes in from this kid's first start.
Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We are joined by Chris Olave. Chris, it's great to have you back. Great to have you on the show. How are things?
Appreciate you for having me, man.
It's good to have you back. All right, so this is one of the only times on the NFL calendar where you get some free time before OTAs ramp up next month. I'm curious, how are you approaching that time? Have you done anything cool since the season ended in early January?
No, just relaxing, man. Just being a regular person, enjoying life. Just doing the hobbies I like, playing video games, hanging out with my people. Just doing regular things, man. Just taking my mind off football and enjoying life, really.
You know, that's interesting. You answered my next question. I was going to say, do you make it a point, at least for a period, to try to get away from the game altogether and maybe do nothing at all football-related? Is it possible, or maybe is that necessary? Do you have to do that?
Yeah, I feel like you have to do that nowadays. There's so much on the body, mentally and physically. When the season ends, you just want to be able to relax your mind, relax your body, and just vibe out, man. Just catch a couple vibes.
I like it. Chris Olave joining us. So the Saints last year, Chris, had two wins. Two-win improvement over the year before. You had a winning record. You were 9-8. You came in second place in the NFC South. You didn't make the playoffs. As you look back on the season from a team perspective, what kind of thoughts do you have?
We had a really good team, man, but some games we let slip through our hands. We were way better than what our record showed. We just got to come together, build a lot more chemistry, and be able to finish those tough games next year, to be able to be a playoff and be able to be a contingent team.
You know, it's interesting, chemistry, that whole thing, like, what comes first, that age-old question? Do the wins create the chemistry, or do you need the chemistry in order to get the wins? What comes first?
You need the chemistry to get the wins, man. It develops in OTA, developing in summer workouts, developing in training camp. To be able to fight through the adversity that we're going to get during the season, or when we down 14 points and we need to come back. It's those times that we can count on each other. So we get in tough situations. We know what we have by our side.
We're talking to Chris Olave. In terms of chemistry, you had a brand-new quarterback in New Orleans in Derek Carr. I'm curious, what was it like getting to know him, getting on the same page with him? What's it like playing with a vet like that?
He's a great veteran, man. He did spend a lot of time with the Raiders. Of course, you know what he did over there. He had a great career over there. He's a great leader, and it was our first year together, and we did a pretty good job. I know we all have higher standards of what we did, but you can't take back what we did in our first year.
You know, Chris, I mentioned you had another big year. You've had two really good years since coming into the league. You went over the 1,000-yard mark for the second year in a row. Where do you think you made the biggest jump from year one to year two, and what are you looking to refine this offseason when you get back at it?
Just certain parts of my game, developing my contested catches, developing my catch radius, developing in certain areas of my game that I wanted to from my first year. So it's just about going back to the lab from year two to year three and be able to make jumps at where my weaknesses were from last year.
Chris Olave joining me. You also have a new O coordinator, right, in Clint Kubiak. He comes over from the Niners. He was their game coordinator, obviously a well-respected young coach. Have you spent any time with him yet? Do you have a sense of what that Saints offense is going to look like under him?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, man. We talked a little bit. I just met him and talked for about 10, 15 minutes. But I'm excited to be able to see what he brings. He brings such a variety of different looks. So I'll just be able to get matchups on certain people that we want. He's a genius at that. So I'm excited. He runs the offense with the players. Our best at, so really that's how it's supposed to be, and I'm excited to work with him.
Chris Olave joining me for a few more moments. Let me ask you this. You set the school record at Ohio State with 35 receiving touchdowns, and for two of those years, you caught TD passes from Justin Fields. You've said that he's one of the most talented players you've ever been with. How much do you think that he would benefit from a change of scenery if the Bears do decide to part ways with him?
That's not me. I don't know how much he would benefit from that. I feel like he could develop and be great in any system. I feel like that's the type of player he is, type of quarterback he is. You've seen in his first few years, he ain't really had much to work with, but he's been out there doing his best and he's putting up numbers. So I'm excited to see what happens, but I know he could work with any offense in any system.
I think it's fair. I think whatever questions there are, we'll see. But you're right. He didn't have a lot to work with, and that was a challenging situation. Let me ask you one last thing. When you look around the league, man, there is so much talent at wide receiver already in the league, and then you look at this draft class, and there's even more talent coming in. So are you essentially like you versus you? Are you only thinking about you? Or as you look around the league and you see playmakers like that on so many rosters, does that push you to push yourself even harder?
Oh, yeah, I feel like that's just a mentality you got to have. Everybody's trying to be the best, so what you going to do to outwork that? So I feel like there's a lot of talent coming into the league, especially nowadays. Everybody running fast, everybody could jump high, but it's just about separating yourself and just sticking to that mindset of you got to be the best, so.
Dude, you used the word. I was just going to say, so what's the separation? If these guys are all coming in the league, everybody can run, everybody can jump, man, everybody's got great athletic ability, where do you find the separation then? How do you approach that? Where is the separation?
We say that all the time. Everybody going to be talented, but especially in this league and NFL, I feel like most of the game, 90% of the game is mental. So just being able to know that and have that mindset to train your mind to be able to it's going to be tough situations, just be able to bounce back from that. And just keeping the mental right and just playing that game all along.
That is so key, keeping the mental right. So leave me with this thought. Do you handle that mental aspect yourself? Do you have a mindset coach? How do you approach the mental? How do you train the mental?
Just daily, just trying to create good habits. A lot of breathing, a lot of just – that everybody do physical work, everybody go to the gym, but be able to work out your mind too. Just developing a routine and having that in the mornings and nighttime and throughout the days to be able to just have clear thoughts and let your thoughts flow. I feel like that helps a lot.
I like that. It's like a mental gym right there. You got your physical gym, you got your mental gym as well. 87 receptions. Obviously, it's working. 87 catches, over 1,100 yards, 2 years, over 1,000 yards both years. Chris Olave, my guest. Chris, appreciate you making time in the offseason to join us. Thank you very much, man. Great talking to you.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
Orchard Park. Dave, great to have you, Dave. How are you?
Jim, once again, thank you for the vine and good afternoon. Despite sunny skies here in Western New York today and in Orchard Park, You know, it's a great day for many Bills fans, not for me, Jim, and everybody on sports this morning from Good Morning Football to ESPN, as well as you covering it beautifully. We did not win with any of these guys. I miss Poyer. I miss White. I miss Morris. They're all great players. But we did not win with any of these guys. We're going to have to go to a youth movement, as everyone knows. They're bringing in Foley Fatusi from Jacksonville, who just got cut. He's in for an interview today. People forget, we did the same exact thing back in the 90s. After we lost all four Super Bowls, they had a week of Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and Bruce Smith all exiting. And they all, I think two of them went the same day, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Smith and Thomas. So I'm not shocked by any of this. I don't think I have to be sad about this because we did not win with any of these guys. Oh, yeah, we did re-sign Taylor Rapp last night to a three-year extension. We re-signed David Edwards to a two-year extension. That's all well and good. And as long as you have Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and Milano coming back and you got Cook in the double tight end, I'm sure we're going to be fine. But people are forgetting Rodgers is now going to be back with the Jets. The Dolphins are still a great team. New England's going to be highly improved with a new coaching staff and the draft picks and the capital that they have. We came into this year, Jim, it was a mess. We're 22. The worst team behind New Orleans with cap before we started making these moves. We had 22 unrestricted free agents. So what were Bills fans going to expect? Your next guest is one of the reasons why we're not advancing, and he's got the quarterback and tight end to prove it. So as far as I'm concerned, Bills Mafia, yeah, it might be a sad day for some of you. It's not a sad day for me. This was expected. We can only get younger, and hopefully, as long as Josh Allen stays healthy, we'll still have a good upcoming season. I'm out.
Bam! We go to New Orleans. Nooch! Nooch, brother, what's going on?
What's up, Jimmy? I'm going to make this quick because I know we're all pumped about this Andy Reid interview. You haven't touched on it yet, but I want to talk about this announcement of Tyson V. Paul. Now, has anybody told this clout-chasing, gimmicky little bitch that beating a geriatric legend does not make you worth a damn? Now, I'm not talking about Leffen Laguna. Romy, Mike is 57 years old, all right? This feels less like a fight and more like a squabble in a trailer park where the 20-something-year-old meth head is trying to beat up his retired step because he won't give him 10 bucks to run down to the 7-Eleven and grab a Slurpee and a pack of smokes. If Paul was any kind of a real fighter, why not challenge, like, Tyson Fury or maybe that Ukrainian dude that's straight-up destroying everybody he looks at? Romy, I understand its content, okay? But so is Ryan in Sacktown waddling his fat ass over to the phone to the beef segment. Just because its content doesn't make it any good. No matter the outcome, I will have no respect for the Paul brothers. I'll have more respect for that ill-fitting Speedo that Brad stuffed a sock into than I will ever have for the Paul brothers. The whole thing stinks more than Ira Craig's cardboard mansion. That's all I got. Jimmy, war your partnership with X and war Smack Off 30 being the most incredible event to ever grace the airwaves. Woo!
I mean, Nooch, are you off the Kron or did you find a new, better strain of the Kron? Dude, that was incredible. Oh, look who wants to weigh in. James in Portland. James, my man, what's up?
Jimmy, my man. Wait, are you ready? Am I ready? Imagine James Kelly running the board real quick, Jim, hitting the buttons. Nothing like 3 hours of Wendy Williams farting. I'm not sure, Jim, what's more awkward. Listening to Albie give us his prize picks on live radio or James Kelly spelling XR4TI. I mean, Albie's hung from the waist down and sounds like a prepubescent Mike Tyson, while Flight Deck's hung from the neck up and sounds like he just finished reading his first novel, and I'll say the title like James Kelly. Green Asian Ham? War Albie being on vacation or what we call maternity leave in 6 months. Come on! Good night now!